Our reading this morning comes from the book of Philippians. We will be reading from the third chapter of the book of Philippians, verses 4b through 14, and it is found on page 1023 of your Pew Bibles. So this time, let us listen to God's word for us. If any other man thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as refuse, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own based on the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that if possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Sometimes it takes a crisis for us to really begin to value the things that are important and to be able to make distinctions between the things that are not that important, things that we might be able to do without, things that we might be able to lose. The preacher Fred Craddock once told a story about a friend of his who was a missionary in communist China. One day, his friend notified by the Chinese authorities that he had 24 hours to leave the country and that he would only be able to take 200 pounds of his possessions with him. He began to think about the things he really needed and valued. There was his typewriter, of course. He would need his typewriter, but he recognized that it was too heavy and he could get another one wherever he went, and so the typewriter stayed. He was given a pair of beautiful candle holders by one of the churches. They were a little heavy, but they were sentimental, and so he would take those with him. There was the photos of him and his family and other keepsakes that were very important to him, and so he packed those up, and he on down the line through all of the possessions he had, he began to try to determine how valuable they were to him, and the things that were really valuable he would pack up, and the things that were not terribly valuable he would leave behind. And finally he got to 200 pounds of stuff, and he weighed it exactly 200 pounds. And so he went down to the dock, the loading docks, with his luggage, 200 pounds, and it was weighed by the officials in exactly 200 pounds, and he was happy that he had made the weight. And then one of the officials that was doing the weighing asked him about his children. Are your children going too? He said, yes. He said, well, didn't they tell you that your children were included in that 200 pounds? And so suddenly all of the other stuff that he had valued, his candlesticks, the photos, all the wonderful keepsakes that he had wrapped up and packed up, no longer had any significance to him. The most important thing for him was his children. And so he left all of the rest of his possessions there in order to take with him his children, his most prized possessions. Sometimes we have to lose the things that we believe are important in order to realize and obtain the things that really are important. No one understood that better than the Apostle Paul. Paul was a man who was up and coming, a young up and coming young man, a man who was zealous for the ways of God. Paul was a Hebrew's Hebrew. He had all the right credentials. He was blameless in his own moral life, his own moral comportment. He was a person who was totally devoted to the ways of God, the ways of his people. And so he was on his way to persecute this new group of people called Christians. Paul believed that they were dangerous to the ways of God as he understood it. And so he was on his way to persecute them when suddenly he met the resurrected Lord, and it changed Paul's life, turned his life upside down. And suddenly the things that Paul had believed were important about his life were no longer important. They no longer mattered. What mattered to Paul was knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he says. I just want to know Christ. I want to know him. I want to experience him. I want to be a part of the people of God who are in Christ. And so Paul would take that good news, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever he went. Sometimes you have to lose what you think is important in order to gain what is really important. Years ago, when I was in seminary, I met some pretty impressive young people. Some of the they were young people who had graduated from the kinds of schools that would give them an automatic ticket into the good life, as the good life is usually understood. They had pretty impressive pedigrees. But instead of taking those pedigrees and using them as a ticket for the good life, instead they decided to work for an organization that addressed the concerns of homeless people who were living in Atlanta. I remember hearing their stories and listening to their backgrounds and the kind of schools that they had gone to, Ivy League schools, and wondering why they would use those degrees here in this particular kind of setting, working for a homeless shelter, spending all of that money for Ivy League degrees in order to work among homeless people. And I remember them responding in pretty much the same way that Paul responded. They said, "We just want to know Christ. We just want to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And we figure that the best way to know him is to lose the kind of things that we think are important, the things that we thought were important. The best way to know him is to get close to the kinds of people that Jesus himself would get close to." And I thought that was a good answer. It prompted me to ask myself what I might be willing to lose in order to know the Lord Jesus Christ. What might we be willing to give up? What might we be willing to lose for the sake of knowing thoroughly the Lord Jesus Christ? I received my recent edition of Plow magazine in the mail the other day, and the whole edition is dedicated to the Reformation. Yesterday we celebrated the 300th anniversary of the Presbytery of Philadelphia, but this year also marks the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. And there was a wonderful article that caught my attention in PLOW because it was about a congregation that was interested in reforming itself. It was a congregation, perhaps much like our own, a congregation comprised of people who were wanting to get close to God, closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they began to ask themselves a number of questions about their witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the questions they asked themselves is, what would happen if all of a sudden we didn't have any gasoline, any petrol? Would we be able to get the church? And their answer was no, because most of the people lived from outside of the community where the church building was located. And so they realized that if there something happened, that there wasn't any gas, they wouldn't be able to gather together as the church. And so they made a decision to start worshiping in their homes. And they asked themselves, what would happen if they didn't have any electricity? And the answer that they came to was, again, it would be very difficult for them to be a church, to come together. They had all of this equipment, all of this sound equipment, all of these things that would allow them to be able to project sound and to be able to project images out into the congregation. And if they didn't have those things, they didn't think they would be able to be a church. And so they decided that they would do without that. And again, to simply meet in their homes and to share a meal together. And in doing that, that they could be the church. And so they gave up their building altogether. This beautiful building that they had downtown in Brasilia, they decided to give that building up and to worship in their homes and to be a community in the places where they were at. And to give up all the programs that didn't have Jesus as the foundation, they decided to give all of those things up so that they could be the kinds of witnesses that they felt God was calling them to be. And so, like the Apostle Paul, they gave it all up. They counted it all for nothing in order to get to better know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, please don't go back and say, Randy wants us to get rid of everything, wants us to get rid of the building and start worshiping in homes and start giving up everything to worship the help out the homeless. I'm not saying that at all. But I do want us to think deeply about what it means to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do want us to ask ourselves the question, what do we have to lose? We Americans sometimes believe that we can have it all. We sometimes believe that we can have our cake and eat it too, that we can have our lives, that we can show up with our bundle of lives down at the docks and bring Jesus in tow, that we could have it all, our lives and Jesus too. But what if we can't have it all? What if we can't have Jesus and have our lives too? What if Jesus is calling us to let go of the things that we value, to let go of the things that we believe are important in order to have Jesus more fully, in order to know Jesus more fully? What if we were called to count everything that separated us and prevented us from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ more fully? What if we were called to give it up, to count it as nothing, as the Apostle Paul counted everything for nothing? We're reminded this morning that Paul himself had everything to lose. Paul, in order to understand and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, had to lose a great deal. First of all, he had to lose his understanding of God. Paul had this understanding of who God was, and it was an understanding that he took deep down inside of his heart. But when he met the Lord Jesus Christ, he had to give that understanding of God up and realize that the God that he would come to know and the God that he would come to worship was none other than the God that he would come to know in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just this God who was up there somewhere, but the God who had come down to be in the midst of this world, of the God who had poured himself out for Paul and who had poured himself out for each and every one of us. This was the God that Paul had come to know. The God who met him on the road to Damascus. The God who still had the scars in his hands for what God had done for humanity. That's the God that Paul would come to know. Not simply a God who was up there looking down, but a God who had come to be in our midst. Paul had to lose his earlier understanding of God in order to embrace the understanding of God that he would come to know in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul would have to lose, he would have to give up his understanding of who the people of God were. Paul had this understanding that the people of God were all of those who were good, decent Jews, all of those like himself who could be defined as Jewish people, all of those who lived within the confines of the law, all of those who could be demarcated from the rest of the population by their marks of Jewishness, by circumcision, by who they ate with. This was the people of God. For Paul, like many other Jews, all of those Gentiles were considered dogs. They were considered unclean. But Paul had to give all of that up, all of the privileges of his ethnic identity, in order to know the Lord Jesus Christ. It would be Paul, this Jew, who would take the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ out among the Gentiles, the people that most Jews thought were unclean. But Paul would take the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ out to the Gentiles, and he would come become the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul could have stayed in Jerusalem with his own people. He could have begun to stay to being a good Pharisee, a good scholar, a good Hebrew. He could have defined himself by way of his Jewishness, but instead he began to define himself as a child of God and as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he began to take that good news out into the Gentile world. And of course, Paul had to give up his zealousness. That's what Paul says. I was zealous for the ways of God. I was zealous for the ways of the Lord. And in the Bible, when one is zealous, it means their willingness to use violence in order to further the ways of God. And Paul was willing to use violence. He was zealous for the ways of God. He was on his way to persecute Christians who he believed were a danger to the ways of God. But Paul had to give all of those things up. He had to give that up as he had to give everything else up. Paul, the good Jew, the good and faithful worshiper of the God that he believed he understood, said, I gave it all up. I counted it as nothing. I counted it as refuge. I counted it as rubbish. And the Greek word for rubbish, for refuse here, is actually something more vulgar, something that has to do with bodily functions. But Paul says, I gave it all up. I counted it all as nothing. It was nothing to me. Nothing compared to knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. What might we have to lose? What might we have to give up? What might we have to call as nothing in order to realize and to know the Lord Jesus Christ? I was just waking up early last Monday morning, about 4 o'clock in the morning, when I heard the news on the radio. Actually, it was a BBC reporter who was giving the news, and he said that several people had just been shot in Las Vegas, in the American city of Las Vegas. Over 50 people shot, he said, and many, many more who were wounded. I would later learn that some of those who were killed, 58 in all, 59 counting the shooter himself, some of them were just plain everyday people who had gone to Las Vegas to enjoy themselves and have a good time. One of them was a 29-year-old woman who had just been engaged. Another was a middle-aged man who was there celebrating his anniversary. One was a teacher and administrator who had gone to Las Vegas to take a much-needed vacation. But they were all gunned down in the space of just a few minutes by a semi-automatic weapon. The killer was a 64-year-old man. Still don't know a whole lot about him as to his motives. People are still poring over trying to figure out his motives so that we could politicize it. We still don't know a whole lot of his motives. He's just called a lone wolf. That's usually what we call people. That's the phrase we give people whenever we want to break the association between their actions and the rest of us. He was a lone wolf. Had he been a Muslim or an immigrant, we'd have made broader associations between his actions and the people whom he represents, Muslims and immigrants, and it would have been an argument against him being able to come into the country. But because he's an American, he's a lone wolf, and we want to make sure that we understand there's no connections between what he did and the rest of us. But if we're honest with ourselves, there is a connection because his actions speak to a deep-seated disease, a deep-seated spiritual void that's at the center of our lives. We worship violence. We worship guns. What might we have to lose? What might we have to give up? And please understand here, I'm not being political. I don't have any political advice to give to our politicians. I think the whole political debate is a bit silly to me. I can't understand why we would even have a political debate. Certainly, it's not about guns or whether or not we ought to have guns or guns ought to be legal. It's about modification, being just taking the necessary precautions to make sure that guns are rightly regulated. But that's not my issue here. I have no advice for our politicians. I'm speaking to Christians, those of us Americans who are Christians. What do we have to give up? Why are guns so important to us? Why are guns something that we value? Why is it that a president of a Christian university lifted a gun up before the student body and indicated his devotion to guns? Why is it a United States senator running or a candidate for the United States Senate in Alabama, someone who purportedly speaks for God and for apple pie, why is it necessary for him to raise a gun? What is it about guns that is so important to us? Why do we have to have them? Is it really about guns, or maybe it's something else we have to lose? Maybe it's our deep-seated fear, the fear that we have for each other. Maybe we're afraid of each other, and we believe that we need to have guns in order to protect ourselves from each other. Maybe it's the anger that's at the center of our lives. Maybe it's that deep-seated anger that we feel because things are not necessarily going our way, and we feel that maybe we need guns to protect us and to protect the ways of God in the same way that Paul thought he had to protect the ways of God from a wayward group of people called Christians. What is it about guns that we believe we need to have them? Paul reminds us that the most important thing, the most valuable thing, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that for knowing him, to know him, we need to be able to give up everything that might get in the way of us being able to know him fully. And so the question is, can we have our guns and have Jesus too? Can we have our anger, our deep-seated anger? Can we have our fears? Can we have our distrusts of one another and have Jesus too? Paul's advice is to give it up, to give anything, to give everything up that prevents us from knowing more fully the Lord Jesus Christ. and from knowing more fully what it means to enter into the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ, the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give it up, says Paul. Count it all for nothing, because loving Jesus and knowing Jesus is the most important thing of all. Last week, we heard Paul tell us about Jesus himself, about how Jesus gave everything up for all of us, about how Jesus let everything go, about how Jesus emptied himself for all of us. And Paul is reminding us here this morning that he was not preaching something that he himself was not prepared to live out. I count it all for naught, he says. I gave it all up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that I thought was important, I came to realize that none of it is important, because the only thing that matters is life in the Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing that matters is the love that I have for Christ, because Christ first loved me, because Christ first gave everything up for me. And the same for all of us. The Lord Jesus Christ gave everything up for all of us, so we don't need anything else. We don't need our gun. We don't need to put anything else at the center of our lives. We don't need to boast about our nationality. We don't need to boast about our ethnicity. We don't need to boast and grasp and hold on to all of those things that we believe are important. The most important thing is the life that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul says that if there's something else that you're placing at the center of your life, something else that's preventing you from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ more fully, give it up. Let go of it. Count it for naught. But I realize that's hard to do. But sometimes it takes a crisis. Sometimes it takes a crisis for us to learn what's really important. Sometimes it takes a crisis to help us to be able to separate the things that we think are important for the things that really are important. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come to you this morning knowing indeed that you are, in fact, the God of our lives. We come to you, Lord, knowing that there are many temptations in the midst of our world, many idols that we sometimes place at the center of our lives because we believe that they can give us life. We believe that they can fulfill those deep places in our hearts where there is fear and anger, the deep places in our hearts that need desperately to be touched by your love. Lord, we ask us that you help us to get rid of anything that prevents us from walking more fully with you and from knowing more fully our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us to be your people in all that we do. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.